Right about now, you are listening to the Legacy and Leadership Podcast, a show where we discuss living as a leader worth following, leading others to do the same, and in doing so, leaving a legacy for future generations. My name is Jimmy Gonzalez Jr., a learning and development professional and leadership coach, sitting down with my co-host, Anthony Devon Watts Jr., an expert contact center leader that has effectively led and developed dynamic teams with high motivation. Together, we have over 30 years' experience in the corporate game. Join us as we discuss our growth as leaders, share the lessons we've learned, and interview others to see how their leadership style was shaped as they were mentored by adversity. Well, hello, 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 good people. This is your co-host, Jimmy Gonzalez Jr. of the Legacy in Leadership Podcast, along with Anthony Devon Watts Jr.
Yo, yo.
Coming at you with episode 005. Super excited about that. How you doing, man?
Absolutely, man. I'm doing well, man. Actually, I was, before we kind of hopped on here to do this episode, I was just kind of catching up to speed with all the news about the Redskins changing their names. To the Washington Football Team. For right now.
Well, that's what everybody's been calling it, but they're not serious with that, are they?
Well, so right now, they're legally, they have to keep it that way because they're still waiting for the copyright for whatever name they're going to move to kind of get finalized. And so you have a combination of people being funny, then also a combination of people just not aware of the process, thinking that they've settled on Football Team as the name. So I've just been enjoying the comedy stylings of kind of the internet and the Twitterverse about it. Because, I mean, and I'm sorry to our listeners who may be, former Redskins, former Redskins fans and non-football, but former Redskins fans. But even before this recent name change, there was enough to laugh at about the Redskins. and so now for them to come out as the Washington Football Team, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about the commentary, right? Like, you got the announcer like, oh, man, it's going to be a tough year for the football team. Haskins is trying his best, but he can't get the football team over the hurdle. So hopefully they get this copyright trademark stuff buttoned up as quickly as possible so that we can know the real name, because I know that's what the world wants to know. What is going to be the real name? And then you'll have 50% of the people that love it, 50% that hate it. So but for right now, y'all keep getting these jokes off about the Washington Football Team. I'm enjoying it.
I guess I've just been too busy with other stuff, because as a New York Giants fan, I definitely love ragging on some Redskins, now the Washington Football Team, at least for now. So I've been missing out on that for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. But aside from that, man, honestly, most of my day has been consumed outside of working with responding to and getting feedback on and expressing thanks and gratitude to people that are reaching out and just giving us, a lot of just love and positivity around, kind of these recent string of episodes, and especially the last one. I would say that I think we've been laying the foundation from episode 1 through 3. To kind of that buildup of episode 4 and the kind of that NBA experience. So you can really see how it all comes together when we have those opportunities. And, for folks that have listened, and if you haven't listened already, like, please make sure that you do yourself a favor, go back, check out episode 4, our NBA session with our good friend, Xavier Martinez. But for those that have listened, like, the overwhelming response has been like, man, this was a, super dope episode. I think the thing that has caught some folks off guard is the amount that they've been able to actually, like, kind of learn and pick up from these sessions, regardless of where they're at in their leadership walk, and especially to learn as much about leadership from, at least in our last episode, from somebody that wouldn't necessarily be in what you would consider a traditional management type position or role. Mm-hmm. But I think that just kind of further highlights the things we've been touching on, which is that leadership is more about mindset and how you treat people rather than an actual title. And if you are open to it and you are looking for knowledge and just, you know, going into any experience open-minded, you can grow and learn as a leader from, you know, situations you wouldn't necessarily think you would learn from. So I don't know if you've been kind of responding to similar feedback and, you know, just, you know, getting some words of encouragement from folks as well.
Yeah, the feedback has been very, very positive. And as you were talking about that last piece too, it just had me, you know, thinking about the humility, you know, aspect and how he shared that and his willingness, as you mentioned, to learn and read books and to talk to people and say, you know what, as gifted as I might be at talking and communicating with people, it's time for me to just, you know, stop and listen and observe and learn and to be able to get to that point, you know, in his early 20s and start making those decisions. Yeah, it was cool, man. It was a fun conversation. And I think a really insightful conversation as well. And yes, the feedback has been really positive up until this point. It's been all love, man. It's been all love. So we're definitely excited and just happy, you know, that people are getting value from the conversations and from listening to the podcast. So continue, please continue.
Yeah, for sure. There's a shameless plug. Please continue. Listen, like, subscribe. But no, yes. Seriously, like, you know, pass on the message to as many folks as possible. I was actually excited, man, because by the time that this airs to, you know, our listeners, we would have exceeded over 500, you know, views and downloads of just the podcast so far, which is, you know, in 4 weeks, you know, I would say, you know, a huge accomplishment, you know, just for us kind of knowing where we started and, you know, starting from zero and, you know, feeling like we had something of value to be able to bring to the space and share with folks and to see that reflected, that value validated and reflected and just how many people are actually tuning in and listening and engaging and providing feedback. It's definitely some, you know, a good feeling, man.
It is. Yeah, it definitely a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, not that it's about the numbers. It is about the, like you said, it just validates the fact that people are listening. People are appreciating the content and the conversation. And again, we're adding some type of value with the conversations and the topics. And hopefully, again, you know, giving some people some entertainment with our jokes.
Yeah, for sure, man. Actually, Pops hit me up last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, because again, that's just how we're wired, weird hours. And we got into the topic of the podcast, and he was just, you know, pouring on, like, just, you know, how proud he was and some of the things he was able to learn from it. He's like, man, you know, not for nothing too, like you guys be, you know, like having me crack up with some of these stories in the beginning. And he was, you know, sharing with me about the heartache of me trying to find a new barber. He's like, yeah, man. So it all makes sense to me because the last time I FaceTimed you, like about 2 weeks ago, your fade was looking a little, I was like, hey, bro, chill. I was trying to find the right one. He's like, yeah, I don't know, man. He's like, whoever you went to, he didn't blend it right. I didn't want to tell you. Like, bro, just tell me the truth, man. Like,
Pops, so, you got to be real with me, Pops.
Yeah, just be real with me, man. I'll take the Clippers to it and go straight ball. But yeah, so absolutely. Like, hopefully, again, other folks are finding just some entertainment in our discussions. And just know, like I was sharing with him, these are the conversations that we would be having, whether the mic was on and the camera was on or not. Like, this is just us chopping it up. So hopefully you guys can feel that through the discussion and just know it's genuine.
Yeah. And we definitely, that's definitely the vibe, you know, that we're hoping to create. We're having conversations like we've had before, and you just have an opportunity to listen in. And our goal as well, our desire is to provide even different opportunities for you guys to hopefully even engage real time in some of these conversations as we continue to progress and improve on the process and what we're doing. So again, we definitely thank you everybody for all of the support and encouragement up until this point. And again, continue to download any reviews that you would like to leave on your favorite platform. We're even getting on more platforms as we research and continue to plug different areas that are out there. So we want to make sure that whatever platform you're comfortable using, that we're there for you as well. So keep looking for that on, again, all major podcast platforms. And if not, definitely watch us on YouTube. Always easy to find us there. So we appreciate the love for sure.
Absolutely, man. So what do we have in store for the good people today in this episode?
Well, we've been talking about this as well for the last couple of convos that we've had. This was kind of your idea. You wanted to do a Q&A, and I think, you know, there were some questions that were coming in through Instagram and some other avenues, and we felt like it would be a good idea to take some of those questions and answer them to the best of our abilities. And yeah, just have conversation about, you know, what's going on in the minds of the folks out there that are listening and walking this journey with us. And hopefully we can provide some insight to the, again, the questions and some of those things lingering on in their minds.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, honestly, selfishly, it's a way for me to kind of address everything that's been coming through the DMs in like one episode, right? Like, because typing it out or typing your thoughts or finding the time to be able to do that can just be a little bit taxing. But, and plus, you know, obviously, you know, I don't have a monopoly on the answers. And I think a lot of times just having the discussion with you and being able to kind of think out loud and other individuals, you end up refining and refining and refining your perspective until you get to something that you feel really comfortable with or confident with. And so, I think this is going to be a super cool experience. You know, we were able to kind of capture all of the questions so far, and obviously we don't have the time to be able to address them all, because otherwise it'd be like a 4 or 5 hour episode, right? But I think the ones that are one, consistently came up, and two, are kind of pertinent to what's kind of going on right now and just in the environment and the climate, I thought would, you know, there would be a lot of value in taking the time to respond to those. So again, if you don't hear your question answered, please don't take any offense. Yeah, this is not going to be the last time that we actually tackle this. We're going to have more episodes like this in the future. We'll integrate them into just kind of our normal episode flow, for sure. And if it's, you know, a burning question and you really, really need an answer, you know, reach out to us on any of our social media platforms, and we'd actually be glad to take the time to be able to address it, for sure.
Absolutely. Cool. So let's get into question number one. And it's a really good question for the time that we're in right now. But for some of us, and I'll get into a little bit about this, having a remote team is something that I've actually had the opportunity to do, to lead a remote team years ago and even currently in my current role. So the question is, how can I as a leader continue to be effective in a remote work environment?
Yeah, man. So I picked this one obviously for a reason, because I think for a lot of leaders right now, just kind of the times, it's like the $1 million question, right? Everybody's kind of spinning their wheels to figure out, how do I do this effectively? How do I pivot, given the fact that, you know, a lot of organizations have dispersed their workforce to working remotely, and it's really accelerated some of the decisions that businesses have had to make around, you know, remote workforce versus on site. I know that the fear has always been, to some extent, that if I don't have, you know, my staff on site, how can I ensure a certain level of oversight, quality, support, like kind of all of those things, right? There's definitely some tangible benefits to working remotely, but there's also some cons, right? And so, when I was kind of noodling on this just a little bit and thinking about my own experiences having in my, you know, my last role in a very short period of time, you know, having to go from never having a remote workforce handling calls for the organization to literally sending like almost 300 people home, and figuring out the logistics around that and the systems and how do we ensure that we can inspect what they're doing and all of that stuff. Right. The one thing that I kept coming back to in that experience, and even in this new experience, I think is the first place to really start when you're thinking about this, is I think from, you know, transitioning to remote work, all it does to me really is just magnify the opportunities around communication and support that existed even when you had folks on site. They just weren't apparent, or maybe you were able to fill some of those gaps because there was a little bit tighter oversight. Mm-hmm. And so I find that the folks that are struggling the most, you know, in this space are the ones that already maybe had some opportunities with their communication, their engagement, their rapport strategy, their employee engagement strategy. And now that has been exacerbated because I don't have the benefit of having you on site to be able to close down those gaps, right? And so I want to spend a little bit of time, you know, just kind of with you gathering your thoughts around one from a, you know, a technology perspective. I think there's a litany of technology out there in order to help with this process. And we can touch on that a little bit in case people are curious about like what are some of these industry leaders actually using in order mm-hmm. to address this. But I want to focus more on the leadership component and, you know, how do you close that gap, you know, from a leadership perspective to ensure that kind of level of rapport and engagement continues even in a remote environment, right? So I know this is something that is a little bit near and dear to your heart only because you've had the experience of managing remotely and you've actually been responsible for establishing the foundation for, you know, your current organization and how do you, you know, operate and lead effectively in this space. And so I want to start with just kind of getting your thoughts on that. Like, how can the leader be more effective?
So the one of the main things is communication that you mentioned and how you communicate and the consistency in that communication itself. So I've had a couple of experiences. I think back several years ago as a center training manager when I had remote sites. So I had some trainers in Puerto Rico, in Miami, and then even within the site in Winter Park. Now, they were working in a call center, but it's still that relationship, obviously, that is distant. And how do you lead and manage people from that perspective? And there wasn't the type of technology back then that we have now. So it was just really important to make sure, as today, that you have consistent cadence of, you know, one-on-one setup, whether you're going to do that on a daily basis, depending on the relationship and the type of work that they're doing. Or at least, you know, once a week. At that time, I think I was really sticking more to once a month with those individuals. But it has been really different in the last year as I moved into this role where I have two employees. One is in Phoenix and one is in New Jersey. And I think what a lot of people are learning to cope with now is how do I deal with these remote employees that are at home themselves, right? And there's just a litany of challenges that go along with that. It's twofold because you have, you know, the situation with COVID-19 and how that is causing people to have to be in the house. So that adds a different dimension to it. But just even as a remote employee, if they've never done it before, how do you help them to set their space up, you know, when they were used to working within an office setting? But with the two employees that I have, when I came into this role, I inherited these two individuals and they were already working from home. Now, they would at times go into one of the sales offices to work with the teams there. But for the most part, I'd probably say 75% of the time, they were going to be working from their house and still are. So what I do want to say really quick, you know, I'll get into the communication piece, but you mentioned a leadership aspect. And what you said is important. Like, to me, being a strong leader, the things that you need to be able to do that and have, you know, have those strong relationships, it just needs to be there, right? Well, I think one of the things that makes a strong leader is, you mentioned the word intentional, is being intentional about almost everything that you do, right? And intentional about the communication that you have with folks. So if those are things that you're not doing now, you're going to have to shore up those areas no matter what, regardless. You know, you said it, you know, these situations exacerbate, you know, some of those lack of skills or lack of leadership qualities, but those are definitely things that, you know, an individual would need to continue to work on is really being intentional about the cadence of conversations and how you have those conversations. So, you know, quickly what I began to do was making sure that I was having one, a team meeting once a week where we were all getting together, again, various, you know, pieces of technology you can use. For us, we were using Skype. That's the main one that we've been using for you know, the last year or so at the workplace. But using Skype so that we could have these team meetings, using video as well, when I had other employees that maybe were in the office with me, making sure that we were all on camera as we were having, you know, project meetings and discussions so that we're all able to see each other through that perspective. And then having that cadence of at least, you know, once a week, making sure that we're having these conversations. And it was important for me early on that I started to transition those conversations to using video, because it brings a much different dynamic than, you know, obviously emailing and texting if you're using something like Messenger over Skype. But just making sure that you have that face-to-face time, I think, is so important with your people, especially when they're working at home, depending on their situation. You know, maybe they have a family, maybe they don't, you know, so it's just them and maybe a pet there, and that's their coworker that's there with them. You know, so people need that human interaction. So the communication and being able to see each other face to face, I think, is very important. And besides the maybe the formal, you know, times that you have during the week to speak with each other, using things like Skype or, again, whatever that internal communication tool that you have in the workplace, is just, you know, consistently using that as well to stay in communication with each other. Those things were really beneficial to me. And then, you know, a lot of times as well, within those conversations, it's sometimes like you just need to have some chit chat, like just talk about life and what's going on. Almost, you know, the same way that we do when we first get onto the podcast and to do our episodes, like we just talk, right, and see how each other are doing. And I think that personal touch is important as well, even in a team setting, to talk about what's going on in life, maybe what's going on, you know, within their family and things of that nature, to bring just that level of realness and another level of authenticity to the relationship and the conversation. I think, you know, from what I've seen, the people that I work with, they've appreciated that, they've respected that. And one in particular, I really know through conversations that we have, that he really appreciates that type of leadership and knowing that I'm there for you as a boss, but I'm also there for you for, you know, other challenges that you may be going through. And, you know, if they would allow, you know, giving me that opportunity to be able to help them through, or at least just be a support, you know, for them through those situations. But even, you know, even whether it's, again, using something like Skype, or I'm not trying to plug people, but, you know, Microsoft Teams or something like that. But just using, you know, even the communication throughout the day and email, there's times where we have emails going back and forth that are about what we did on the weekend. You know, and kind of sending pictures of, you know, some of the spots that he went to in Phoenix and, you know, sharing moments like that with each other, again, allow for that relationship to continue to grow and build trust. And I know that those are things that employees really appreciate, especially when they may be in a situation where they're kind of isolated because they're at the house by themselves.
Nope. I absolutely agree with you, man. That's a good call out. Matter of fact, like when I really try and like wrap my mind around it and kind of how I articulate it, even with my current staff, what I kind of tell them is that what you really need to do is you have to, like, we have enough meeting cadence and formalized touch bases and all that stuff. You know, we got that covered down. One-on-one, skip levels, you name it, right? Where the real challenge is in this environment is I need you to replicate the water cooler, right?
Exactly.
Like, I need you to replicate the water cooler. And so, all of those off the cuff conversations that you would have, you know, popping into somebody's office, all of those things that we can't do anymore because we're not physically in the same space. You have to be able to replicate that, because to your point, it does go towards building trust, because you're continuing to build rapport. And so, again, making sure that your conversations are not just limited to kind of the nature of the task at hand and what the work is, which I know for some leaders, that seems a little bit counterintuitive, right? But you have to understand that, you know, first and foremost, you have to build relationships. You have to talk, you have to connect with people, right? You start with that foundation. If you can connect with people and you can build relationships, the work and the task and all that other stuff, you know, with the right, you know, organizational skills and disciplines, that's going to get accomplished, right? But what has somebody willing to run through a wall for you, to go above and beyond, to make sure that they want to execute at a high level, is more about who you are as a person than it is, you know, what type of organizational skill or, you know, really fancy meeting recap you sent. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to be the thing that has them on fire in order to deliver for you as a leader. And then I would say also, you know, the way that I try to break it down or make it simple, because just in our environment specifically, right, I think it's a little bit different when you're dealing with more of a seasoned employee, you know, who's operating at a higher level and could communicate differently. For me in my current environment, right, we have about 20, I want to say maybe about 2,200 to 2,300, you know, frontline call takers, you know, that are working remotely, right? Which is the first time that's happened in the organization. And so kind of going through that dynamic. And so you got, like, again, over 2,300 frontline employees. You got like over 60 or 70 frontline leaders. You have, you know, another, you know, 25 to 30 frontline, you know, or managers of the leaders, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then you have, you know, kind of my level at the director level. And so for these individuals, you know, kind of helping them navigate, well, how do you drive engagement for that frontline employee who their skill set is a little bit lower? Maybe they are just joining the organization. And so they don't have, they're not as savvy when it comes to leveraging technology and, you know, their outlook and scheduling things and all that good stuff. And so from that perspective, what I've had to share with my leaders is, look, man, the things that we're expecting in terms of engagement and communication, these are not foreign concepts to these folks, because they're doing the same thing already on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, right? And so it's, how do we replicate more of, how do we draw that parallel, that connection? How do we replicate those same activities, right, in our environment for the purposes of getting work accomplished, right? You know, sending somebody, you know, a funny meme is not a foreign concept to some of these frontline advisors, or sending somebody, you know, a private message just to check in on how they're doing and their well-being. You know, following up with, again, a quick note, a quick Skype or whatever you're using versus some type of formalized email is not a foreign concept. And then, and I know this is, I'm going to sound like the alien of my generation, right? The millennial, right? But also these systems, you know, even though they're all internet based, like they can make phone calls. There's nothing wrong with just hitting the button and calling somebody. There's been plenty of times where I've done that, where you know, I'm working with an individual or working on an assignment, and yeah, I pull up, you know, the WebEx Teams real quick, and I'm getting ready to type a message. I'm like, you know, let me just give them a call. I'm just giving them a call, and sometimes I just call you, and I'll, you know, just boom, you know, hit your line. Hey, what's up? And, you know, I try to do video calling too, so, you know, people can just kind of see, you know, see my eyes, see my face, you know, body language and all that good stuff. I think that goes a long way towards driving connection and making sure you have undivided attention. But yeah, like, these concepts are not foreign. And so it's really about taking the same things that we use, in our personal lives with social media and engagement and how we stay in contact with, you know, Auntie Judy, in California.
Yeah.
Right. So she knows what's going on with the kids and all that stuff. Right. And replicating, you know, those same kind of disciplines, those same type of habits, you know, in the work environment, again, with the purpose of building relationships so that we can get work done. And so, I would just say, even with all the advice that, you know, I've been able to provide and you've been able to provide, doing those things does not take the place of, again, genuine rapport building. Like, you have to genuinely, you know, want to drive engagement and want to know what's going on with your folks and really care and want to reach out. Like, just going through the motions, I'm here to tell you guys right now, if you do everything we're saying and it comes from an authentic place, and you do not genuinely care about building relationships, rapport, staying connected with your team, it will come across as such. And you will find it to be very ineffective. And so you have to, one, have a genuine desire to have that connection. And then again, don't overthink it. Like, don't overthink it. You know, I know people are out there on the internet right now looking for, you know, the 15-point strategy on how I work and manage my remote workforce. guys, we have the tools, you have the resources at your disposal. It's about leveraging the same things you use in your personal life for your social media and building connections with people. And I think if you keep it rooted in that simplicity, you're able to execute at a high level and it doesn't seem like this daunting task.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing about leadership as well, you know, and something to that would help in really making somebody a very good leader, a breakthrough leader, which is something that I've been discussing over the last specifically days, but also the last couple of weeks, is creativity. You know, so like you say, using all of those different tools that you have to continue to have that communication open with your folks. And I think for these situations, again, specifically with what we've been challenged with and going through over the last few months with COVID-19, is a simple question of just asking somebody, and they might not understand how to take it at first. Just, how are you feeling? Like, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And the first answer that you may get is, oh, well, you know, I'm doing good. I was able to get this done today and I got this done today. And, you know, I was able to help these customers, whatever their, you know, their job entails. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Like, how are you feeling, especially mm-hmm. when things have changed and you're used to being in an office setting, in a call center, and now you're at home? And everybody's home situation is different. So there's just so many different dynamics and challenges that come along with that. Is, you know, really, how are you feeling right now? And depending on their personality, it may take some time for them to open up and get used to that and realize that, no, this person really does care. Like you said, they're genuine to know about how I'm feeling inside and kind of what I'm going through. Because one of the really challenging things that even I've had to really contemplate in for myself is just your mental health. Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling with everything mm-hmm. that has been going on within our country and how that affects you and your workplace? And now I'm home, you know, I'm at this desk all day long, you know, working, and that was much different, you know, than life, you know, was 2, 3, 4 months ago. So just checking on people's, you know, their mental health and again, just asking them how they're feeling and helping them to work through that. And just for your family, like, those are just good questions to ask people. How are you feeling? And don't, you know, when they start to give you kind of the generic responses, no, tell me more. Like, I really want to know, how are you feeling right now? Are mm-hmm. you in a happy place? Are you in a sad place? Are you, you know, are you feeling confident or not? Whatever that feeling is, like, let's talk about that. Let's unpack that a little bit. And from a work perspective, if there's things going on, you know that they're not going to be able to give 100% of themselves if there's underlying issues that they have there that they're trying to deal with, right? So let's talk about those things. You know, let's kind of get those things off your chest and hopefully put you in a better mind space so that you can completely focus on the customers, the job at hand, projects, whatever that task is that you have.
No, you're absolutely right, man. It's about breaking the monotony of quarantine, I guess, because, you know, that's kind of the state that we've been in. And, you know, we've even gotten creative to the point, like with friends, where we will do, you know, we'll send out Zoom invites for, you know, a happy hour, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just all of us getting together literally in front of the computers, right? So, you know, we're having web meetings, but, you know, we're partaking in adult beverages and just catching up, you know, and just kind of de-stressing to try and simulate the level of connectivity that we had prior to all of these things, right? And so, you know, Shab actually touched on it in our last episode. And I know it's something that he's been exceptionally, you know, passionate about in his ministry and just personally, which is, you know, as human beings, we are wired for connection. Mm-hmm. And so that has been tested to the utmost over these past couple of months. And so you have to realize that. You have to realize that the same stressors and the same feelings that you're having, you know, your team is having. As well. And sometimes the most valuable use of a team meeting, a scheduled team meeting, is to not do work stuff and not talk about work stuff. Yeah. And just have fun. And, you know, I think, you know, you'll come to find that when you build in things like that, when you have that kind of spontaneity and you just prioritize people's mental well-being, that's when you're able to, ensure that there's a high level of, you know, productivity and engagement, right? Because, you know, you're making sure that people are sharp. Their saw is 100% sharp. And The last thing I'll say about this is I know that we're providing a lot of tips with the perspective that, hey, this is beneficial for your team. But in reality, it's really beneficial for you as a leader. Mm-hmm. The individuals who have been entrusted to provide stewardship in whatever capacity you provide leadership in, that comes with the weight. That comes with the weight, whether it is 5 people or 5,000 people, that comes with a tangible weight. And, I know personally, just from the years of us being, in this leadership space, the toll that can take on you if you do not take the time to refresh and sharpen your saw. And so you'll be surprised at just how rejuvenating it is for you as a leader when you take the time to do those things. Obviously, with the intent of it being beneficial for you, for your squad and those that you support, but it feeds you. It feeds you in the process. And so sometimes the best thing that you can do, with checking on your team's mental health and creating opportunities like that, is to also take full advantage and live in that moment and experience the benefits of it for yourself as well. Because those breaks as a leader, we realize come few and far between. We've all heard the expression heavy is the head. That is 100% true. Heavy is the head.
Yeah, absolutely. I've told people for many years, when they're looking at trying to climb the corporate ladder and they want to be in the seat that you're in, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. And it's a high cost at times. So yeah, you definitely have to be mindful of your mental health and that space that you're in as well. One last thing I will say before we go on to the next question, because I was thinking about this as well with the creativity. One of the regionals does Fun Fridays, so they get on a Zoom call, actually a Skype call, and they may have like crazy hat day or sports day. So, I mean, typical things that we would do like in a call center setting, but they're just doing that and they're having fun, on that Friday afternoon. So again, just like you said earlier, having fun in those sessions and not always keeping it just about business and doing things creatively, will continue to just booster the team spirit, right? And that's always important in any case. So still kind of within that same respect of the remote environment, what do you feel is the best way to provide recognition within a remote setting as we are now?
Yeah, man. So I think you kind of set the foundation for this, which is really about just getting creative, with how you communicate out achievements. And so obviously, the email blasts and all that stuff, the virtual walls, all of those things go a long way. If you have some type of actual recognition system, like some type of kudos system or something like that, that goes a long way as well. But again, it's really about just getting as creative as possible. I have like one of the things I've actually implemented myself, with my squad and just working remotely. I know just how taxing it can be, especially when you're working at home. And this may sound like so super simple, but it's real, to eat the stuff that's in the fridge, to eat the stuff that's in the house. You know what I mean? And you don't have the ability or the opportunity to break away from the home and go to restaurants like you would normally do or anything like that. Right. And so, for my squad, if I want to go out of the way to recognize them, I used to be able to take people to lunch. Right. Like, hey, man, just let me take you to lunch. Well, now the way that I accomplish that in this remote environment, this virtual environment, is, I'll buy Uber gift cards, and I'll send it to them to their phone and just be like, hey, man, the least thing I can do is, take you out to lunch, from the comfort of your home. Right. And so here's a, $25 Uber Eats gift card. So that should be enough to get McDonald's because Uber's be taxing if you order through them. It's just stuff like that, man. And like you said, just, really getting creative with, how you leverage technology. We've even implemented things like, doing pre-recorded messages to our squads. You talked about Fun Friday. I've seen situations or instances where people have gotten creative and, they kind of tongue in cheek, done stuff like, oh, bring your kid to work day. Well, if I'm working from home every day, is bring my kid to work day.
Yeah,
right? Or bring your pet, but it's just an opportunity for people to engage in a different manner, in a different way, navigate some of the the awkwardness, to be honest with you, that comes with working remotely, because I know, you know, we've experienced ourselves actually for the better part of a year before even this stuff hit, because, you know, Gabriella working at home, you know, she's worried about, oh, man, you know, the kids making noise. I can't let people hear the fact that, kids are here, because I know I'm working from home. And what does that do? And, you know, for me, I just try with my squad to lean into it. Like, no, like I want to see your pets, like show me your kids. Like I was literally having a comp meeting with my direct reports, and we were just talking about a potential bonus plan proposal. I was giving them feedback on things that they need to tweak, and in the middle of me having this video conference, I was like, can you guys give me 1 second? My son Lennox is trying to climb out of his high chair while it's dinner time. And so like I had to run over real quick and pick him up, because Lennox is very adventurous. And then I finished the rest of the meeting like just holding Lennox, and Lennox just looking in the video, and he's been a part of the comp meeting as well. And so again, you know, taking advantage of those situations, leaning into the fact that, yeah, we're in this environment, and so there's a different norm. And so thinking of different ways that you can drive recognition in that environment, given kind of the current setup and the current situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, still sticking to some of the basic principles are still important. Like, you have to know your people and what do they appreciate? You know, so if you're sending out an email blast to everybody and they don't necessarily like, you know, that type of recognition in front of everybody, that's still not going to work, right? So it's, you know, it could be just a private email and just say, hey, you know, I really appreciate the way that you handled that situation. Thank you for coming through, you know, on that task that, or the information that we needed you to provide, whatever it may be. Sometimes just that individual communication, again, sends a lot, because it just lets people know that you're thinking about them. You see, you know, what's going on. You see the effort and you appreciate that. But knowing your people and knowing what type of recognition they appreciate is always important as a leader. It's not about what you would want, you know, or what you think is going to be good. It's about, again, knowing them, having those type of relationships, and using that to really get the most out of those moments, you know, where you're trying to create some really good recognition and show thanks and appreciation for a job well done.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it, again, that it continues to tie back into kind of some of these foundational themes, whether you're working remotely or you're working on site, right? It comes down to rapport building, comes down to communication, and all of those things feed into, you know, kind of the broader theme of around trust. But to your point, if I'm not building rapport, if I'm not communicating with my team, then I don't know what you value. How can I know what you value so I can recognize you appropriately? And you know, hopefully, you know, you have some pretty robust systems so that you can differentiate performance and you have visibility to people's productivity on a day-to-day basis and week to week and month to month and all that kind of good stuff. I would think foundationally, a lot of that has not changed, regardless of if they're taking, if they're doing work on site or if they're doing work from home, right? But it is really about saying, okay, I know for a fact that, Jimmy likes public recognition. And so can I pull him into, you know, one of these virtual meetings that I'm having with some higher ups and give him exposure and just call out the fact that, hey, I just wanted to bring Jimmy on board so everybody can see the face of, one of the top performers for the organization. He was able to, you know, accomplish X, Y, Z, and, you know that that's going to feed Jimmy and how he feels recognized, or also knowing that, you know, Devon, he doesn't like that type of attention. You know what I mean? He's a little bit more low key. He, you know, wants to do a good job, and he wants to know that his contributions are appreciated, but he doesn't want to be put on Front Street. And so knowing that things like, sending, you know, Devon a Uber Eats gift card is the best form of recognition, you know, with a personalized message that just says, hey, man, I just really, really appreciate, you know, or tell you, I appreciate your hard work around X, Y, Z, and keeping it pretty low key. So, again, it's about knowing your team, building relationships, building rapport, and communicating effectively so that you can recognize properly. And then I would just say the last thing about it is if you're struggling, again, I really do believe this, if you're struggling to translate, you know, kind of these concepts into the remote environment, it is because there was already an opportunity in that area on site. And it has just been magnified, amplified, because you don't have the benefit of people being close by so that you can cover down those gaps. And so, again, I would say for any leader that you're finding yourself struggling with these concepts or struggling with some of these areas, to learn from it, to take a step back and say, okay, well, this was clearly an opportunity before we sent people home.
Yep.
Right. And now I'm just becoming more aware of it. It's in my face. I can't get around it. I can't. And so how do I create a plan of action and really learn and dig in and figure out how to address it? Because at some point, business is going to return to on-site and you don't want to get back into the same bad habits of not being able to communicate effectively or recognize your folks and just count on the fact that, well, because they're on-site, I'm not going to notice it as much. Mm-hmm. Right. So, again, it's good that if you're asking these questions, there's a certain level of awareness around it. But again, I would pose that these opportunities did not just kind of start revealing themselves because you're working remotely. They've existed for a while and now they've been amplified. And so, now you have to do something about it because you don't have the benefit of proximity to cover you down.
Yeah. And I would say, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you now have the awareness and you're being intentional about taking steps to improve. So that, like you said, when time comes where you are able to get back into the office and everybody's together, now you've even improved your leadership skills even more. So you're going to be even that much more effective, when you're in those face-to-face situations on site with everybody else.
Agreed. Awareness is key. And a commitment to do something about it is even more important.
Absolutely. So how can I support my leader who is feeling overwhelmed and frustrated when I'm feeling the same way? That was kind of a deep one. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one quite a bit just because we've all been there as leaders, right? Where you may be, frustrated with a situation, a task. Maybe you just don't got it. You know what I mean? Maybe just life has worn on you and, now somebody's reaching out to you and they're expressing the exact same thing. And you gotta pull from within to help them get to where they need to be, mentally, emotionally, so that they can go out feeling good about it, charged up and ready to dominate the day. Right. And I would just say that for me, right. Personally, when I found myself in those situations, the thing that's always worked the most for me is, transparency and vulnerability and what kind of mindset I'm currently in. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times folks reach out to you because they have this perception or assumption that, I need to get guidance from this individual because they do not deal with these issues. And so if they don't deal with these, then there must be something that they're doing to avoid ever having these feelings and, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. And I think, what can be liberating or freeing for your squad is understanding that you're in that space as well. And that actually creates strength. The fact that knowing my leader is in that same space and they're feeling, overwhelmed and they're feeling frustrated and, there's some connection, right? There's some connection and some authenticity that comes from that. But then also, sharing with, the team and, being open to learning from them about how they're processing these feelings, right? I think as you guys open up and there's some transparency and you're able to kind of talk through, kind of what the issues are and to, use them as a sounding board and vice versa, sometimes the benefit of just a different perspective can help you work through some of these things. And so I would say my advice in this situation initially for this leader is to free yourself of the burden of thinking that you can't be vulnerable.
Yes.
Free yourself of that burden and free yourself of the burden of thinking that you have to, display some type of, perfection or having it all together. Now, I'm not saying, go to the other extreme and just be like, I don't know, man, I don't even know how I'm doing this. I don't know how I do anything. Like, what is life? I'm totally like underqualified for this. Like, you don't want to go to that extreme. Cause obviously I think, a certain level of, just confidence and, goes a long way towards kind of, reassuring the troops and rallying folks and, knowing that they can count on you, right? So, but I think there's a lot of value too in still being vulnerable and saying, honestly, that's a great question because I find myself dealing with that, from time to time too. Actually, currently, there's certain situations that just kind of have me frustrated and overwhelmed, and and then start talking about some of the things that you do in order to process that. And, you know, if those things aren't working for you, maybe, you know, confide in them just a little bit. And, you know, that can go a long way. So I don't know. What about you, man? Like, what would be your advice, or at least how have you handled those type of situations in the past? Because I know, you know, I just knowing you, knowing the relationship we have, I know you've come across those situations before.
Being vulnerable and truthful with yourself, and hopefully, you know, if you don't have it right away, you're able to build that type of relationship with your leader, and being vulnerable about how you're feeling and how you're processing, you know, the current state, I think is very important. What I've learned over the years too, and I think it's very challenging now, because if you're in this space where, you know, I'm pretty much by myself all day, even if I have family around, but from a work perspective, like all I kind of see is me. Even if I'm doing virtual meetings and stuff like that, it's just me. So it's easier to focus on my feeling of being overwhelmed or being frustrated about certain situations. But what I found in life in general is that sometimes the easiest way to get over your problems is to stop focusing on them by focusing on other people's problems. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, so the question is, you know, how can I support my leader who's feeling frustrated and overwhelmed? Support them, right? How can I do that when I'm feeling overwhelmed and frustrated? Well, just support them. What can you do to help that person? And in focusing on them and focusing on helping them with whatever challenges or frustrations they may be having, and hopefully helping them to feel better or come through that, I start to not focus as much on the things that are overwhelming and frustrating me, because it's just easy to kind of get in that space and kind of dwell there. But if I put my attention on other people, and now I'm not focusing on me and I'm forgetting about myself, and I'm just really focusing on others and others' situations and challenges. And again, just in life in general, that has helped me through a lot of moments where it's like, all right, Jimmy, like, stop focusing on you and what you're going through, because it may be there. Like some situations, like, you're just in that moment, you're just not going to get out of it right away. You know what I mean? So you have to continue to work through that. But how can I look to see who's around me and what they're going through, and how can I help them? And like we said earlier, you're not doing it with selfish motives or agendas, but as you're focusing on other people, it's crazy, man, how you start to receive things back, and positivity and encouragement and good things just happening because you're focusing on other people and not focusing on yourself.
No, man, that's a really good word. Yeah, because that energy is palpable, right? And sometimes you need sometimes that energy of just solving a problem, it doesn't have to be your problem, but exactly, just solving a problem gives you the momentum that you need and kind of re-energizes you and gives you what you need to handle whatever issue you're currently going through, or have that refreshed perspective. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is put it down, walk away from it, accomplish something else, and then let that momentum carry you through. So yeah, I like that quite a bit. You know, just the way that you broke that down, which is, you know, how can I support my leaders who are feeling overwhelmed and frustrated? Like, that's where the period should be. Just support them. We understand that you're definitely feeling the exact same way, and you probably have a lot of legitimate reasons why you feel that way, but don't rob yourself of the energy and the momentum of, you know, solutions. Focus on supporting the folks that need you, and then see where that carries you. So I think that's a really good call out, man. Really good call out.
Yeah. I think as a leader, you know, we do our best to, again, be very genuine in asking this conversation, kind of when we're having one-on-ones, you know, you're going through the process of talking and, you know, going through that conversation at the end of, like, so, you know, how can I help, right? What can I do to help you with these goals and these things that you're trying to accomplish? But even as the employee, you know, even today I was having a conversation with my leader and our one-on-one time. And at the end, I'm like, you know, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you're going through some things too. Besides, you know, the things that I'm already doing, sometimes that can be a loaded question, but regardless, like, what else can I do to assist you to try to make things easier for you? And that's, you know, part of that too, is that's what was being explained to me. You know, he would say, hey, like, I'm just focusing on how can I make this business better? And in doing so, I know that's going to help my boss with the things that they're working on. So it's,
God, where did I hear that from? Because you sharing that reminded me of a saying that I heard that really stuck with me, but I can't remember exactly who I heard it from, but I'll share it. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you've heard the same thing, but you know, I heard that, you know, if you focus on taking care of the one below and the one above and everybody's doing that, then everybody's covered, right? Exactly. So for me as a leader, if I'm focused on properly supporting those in my down chain that I'm responsible for providing resources for, and I'm making sure that I'm looking out for the person that I report up through, and everybody's doing that, then everybody has each other covered, right? And so to your point, you know, like it clicked for me, or kind of triggered that memory for me, because you're talking about, yeah, even in my one-on-ones with, you know, my boss, who as I'm already doing work for, but I know that there's a lot that they're trying to tackle, is, you know, how can I help? You know, like what can I, how can I provide help? Where else can I do? What else can I get? Where else can I get involved? And if you're asking that of, again, the one above and the one below, hey, how can I help? How can I get involved? What do you need from me? And everybody is doing that across the board. Then everybody's covered now.
Yeah. And everybody's thinking about everybody else and not, you know, not themselves.
Selves, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's,
you know, one of the things that we spoke about yesterday in our leadership session was the word affinity and building high performing teams. And that was one of the characteristics of a high performing a team with affinity is, you know, the trust, the openness, and the care that the team has for one another. And it's not always just about, you know, that vertical team and your coworkers, but it's also, like you said, how do I care about the people that are working for me and kind of under me? And then what kind of care do I have for the people that I report to? And it's just super important, man, to be able to have that perspective and continue to focus not just on the people below, but how you can support the people that you report to as well.
Absolutely, man. Affinity. I'm going to have to hold on to that one. I like that. Affinity.
Well, yeah, we'll have some more conversations about that. The session yesterday was powerful. That was just one of the concepts that we spoke about. But the overall theme was breakthrough leadership and breakthrough thinking. So,
Okay. So this next one, actually, this next question is a little bit near to my heart, just because of my recent transition. And so I'm definitely interested to get your perspective, because, you know, obviously I'm going through this myself. And so there's certain things that I've already prioritized, but I'm always open to like new perspectives and fresh eyes on it. So the question here is, you know, hey, I've just started this new job as a leader in a brand new business, something I don't know anything about. I don't know the stakeholders or none of that. Where do I start with my transition? Like, how do I get started, you know, on this new endeavor? And so, yeah, man, like what guidance would you have, for this individual?
So I, you know, there's a couple of different aspects to this, right? It's, I'm starting in a new business. Is that individual also starting in a leadership role, maybe for the first time themselves, right? That's one aspect. But even if you're a seasoned leader, it's, don't go in there with the mindset like I'm the new sheriff in town and I'm going to start running things and changing things and almost, you know, kind of a bull in a china shop and just tearing stuff up. And again, depending on where you're at, you might be very excited. You might be very ambitious and, you know, you were looking forward to this opportunity and now it's here. And, you know, I'm a leader and I want to bring change. But some of the foundational pieces that we already talked about is, this is, you know, leadership is definitely also about people. So how do you get to know the people and start working on who are the key players? Who are the business runners? How do I build relationships with all levels and all different, you know, aspects of the business to just learn? Forget about what I know. Obviously, they hired me for a reason. But as I go into this new environment and this new business, how can I learn as much as possible about the business itself? And even more importantly, how can I learn as much as I can about the people that I'm working with? And again, what makes them tick? What do they care about? You know, what gets them up in the morning? What drives them? I think those are some of the most important things is how do I start to establish those relationships? And also, and you've expressed this, I'm sure you'll talk about it, is show the skill set that I bring to the table when I have the right opportunity to do so, so that I start to build trust and reaffirm for them that, yeah, they made a good decision in hiring me and bringing me into this spot in the first place. So, you know, picking those moments, you know, realizing that when you jump in there, it's not just about you leading and saying, okay, I'm here, this is who I am, but really establishing those relationships, getting to know people first, and kind of getting the lay of the land before you start to really, you know, establish yourself as that leader that you were hired to be.
No, absolutely, man. You hit at least one of the things that are near and dear to me, out the park as far as the relationship component and establishing trust. And, you know, for me, I've always just kind of had the mindset, and I've provided guidance to folks that when you're taking on a new opportunity, whether it is, to your point, I'm a new leader, I'm a seasoned leader, it's an organization that I've grown up in, or it's a brand new organization I've never grown up in before, you know, it all starts with establishing trust, establishing trust with, your peers, with those that you report to, and then those report up through you. Right. And when you look at the components of trust, there are two things that people are assessing in their interaction with you to determine if they can trust you or not. Off rip, there's two things. It is competency and rapport. It is those two things. They are looking at, is this person competent, right? And then does this person have the type of rapport personality that I feel like I can trust them? And I've just seen time and time again, when individuals go into a new opportunity at any level again, and they are not focused on demonstrating competency and developing rapport, it ends up tearing and damaging very early on the trust that you need to establish in order to be an effective leader. And I think you have to understand that it is about having a balance of both. To your point, finding the opportunities to demonstrate your competency. Because if you come in and you're like, okay, well, look, I'm going to be the most competent person in the room. I'm just going to, from the very first day, I'm going to show my mastery of the fundamentals of the organization. And even before I got in this role, I've been doing mystery shopping and my 90-day plan, right? And I'm going to show them all the stuff I've learned from my certifications. If you come in with that mindset, absent of the rapport, you come across as a tool. Right. Mm-hmm. And so people have no desire to want to work with you or partner with you because they don't feel like the trust is there. You're more concerned about flexing what you know, as opposed to figuring out how you can help. Now, on the other side, if you are somebody who's all rapport and relationship building, and you don't demonstrate competency in opportunities where you should be demonstrating your competency, people walk away saying, well, look, he's a nice person. She's a nice person. Right. But I don't know I don't know if I would run through a wall for them. And matter of fact, one of the things that a good friend of mine and a huge mentor for me actually shared, he's like, man, one of the worst things somebody can ever say about you is that you're just a nice guy. Right. He's like, man, I don't know if I've had people say quite a few things about me. But they've never just said, I'm just a nice guy and that be it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I feel them on that in the sense that I think, when people walk away and they say, okay, well, yeah, they're cool people and that's it. That's saying a lot about where they assess your skill set and your competency and their willingness to say, hey, I can learn something from this individual, and I'm on board for the vision that they're about to lay out. And so, again, my advice to anybody that's making a transition into a leadership role is really focus intensely on establishing genuine trust based off of those two things, rapport. And again, you should definitely prioritize the rapport, like first and foremost, but also competency and making sure that you find the opportunity to demonstrate your competency. I think if you do those two things, you'll be in a really good situation. The other thing I would say, oop, mic drop. There we go. That's everything you need to know. The mic literally dropped. the other thing that I would just say, I agree with you that as a leader, you shouldn't be coming in with the mindset that in the very first, 30, 60, 90 days or whatever, I'm about to change everything, the structure of this. I want to make it reflect what I'm accustomed to, and you guys need to fit my mold and all that stuff. I think through that process of genuinely building rapport and then, being able to demonstrate competency, there is this, again, back to humility of just learning and trying to learn as much as possible. And then as you do that, my advice would be to try and get, you know, a early win as quickly as possible, right? Mm-hmm. There is momentum is a tangible thing as a leader. It really is. It's a tangible thing. And it doesn't matter the initiative size. It could be something as simple as, you know, executing webcam deployment, you know, and, you know, giving us a way to engage with our folks, or, you know, rolling out a brand new contest, right, that's going to drive recognition or reduce attrition, right? It doesn't have to be some super sexy, we're going to completely transform our sales focus and marketing strategy and bring on a new CRM. Like, look for some early wins to gain momentum, because I really do believe that you have to take advantage of the capital that you have in that first 90 days. And I've always said that, like, I've learned it from just, you know, watching politics and, you know, I had clarity about what I was doing in my life. You know, I was a poli sci major. And one of the things I always used to pay attention to with new politicians is within that first 90 days, how they spend their political capital, because that's when the goodwill and the openness mm-hmm. for whatever you're going to put together is at its highest, because you haven't done enough to make people not trust you or believe you, right? And you also get the benefit of being the new person, right? So you can, people are more forgiving of, you know, just your ignorance or your missteps or stuff like that, kind of in that time frame. And so for me, I try to take advantage of that capital to get a tangible win for those that I'm supporting. So if my team is telling me that, yeah, we've been trying to get after this, you know, one of the things that would make our life easier is if, you know, our managers had visibility to agents, you know, contact information and schedule changes when that occurs. And that hasn't been the reality for the business, and it's still a pain point. Well, then my immediate thinking is, okay, well, they're telling me that's something that's going to make their life easier. How do I leverage my capital within this first 90 days and goodwill to make that a win for them? How do I deliver that for them, right? Because I know that, again, that goes towards developing trust, demonstrating some competency, but also building rapport, because I heard you. You're telling me that this is a pain point for you. This is mm-hmm. getting in the way of you being able to be successful. I don't know anything about it, but I'm committed within this time frame to get learned up where I'm knowledgeable enough to deliver a win for you and leverage the capital that I have as a new guy, right, to make it happen. So even if I got to ask questions of people and be annoying, I get the benefit of being able to do that and the grace to be able to do that, because people are like, oh, Devon's new. So, yeah, we've tried this before. We've answered this before, but, you know, you're the new. So I can explain it to you. And so, yeah, that would just be my advice, as well as, you know, establish the rapport, demonstrate competency, that'll develop trust. And then to solidify that trust, try and get an early win by leveraging the capital that you have as a leader to deliver something for your team. If you do that, I think that's the best foundation you can establish for yourself, you know, to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, you can never take for granted the importance of for yourself and for your team in those small wins, and how those small wins, as time goes, they continue to add up and they lead to bigger wins and bigger success in the future. The saying is, culture eats strategy for lunch. Mm-hmm. So you can go in there with all the strategy, a 90-day plan, but, you know, the showing your competency, building rapport, and as you said, that with that humility and going in there with the mindset, I'm going to learn about the culture. Really learn and observe the culture. You know, forget about what values and what culture you read on the website of the company before you got hired. Not that those things are not true, but it's going to be different. And are they really living those things out in the workplace? Is it filtering all the way down to those frontline levels? So really learning what that culture is and how do I navigate within that culture. And the more I learn about the culture, the more I'm in tune with that culture, if need be, when the time is right, how do I then start to influence change within that culture? But if you don't establish those things first, again, culture eats strategy for breakfast. So you want to make sure that you learn about that culture first before you go in there and start, again, trying to make changes and establish yourself from that respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Good word. I like that too. The culture eats strategy. Every mm-hmm. single time. Yeah. Yeah. That's worthy of getting tatted. I'm on my stomach, culture life. Like, I like Tupac. But no, seriously, man. Seriously though, I think it's a good. It literally is a good word though, because I think that's the thing that we spend a lot of time, to your point, developing and thinking about strategy and researching strategy, and not enough time really developing the culture, and thinking about the culture. And again, just, you know, as a leader, you know, the strategy really changes based off of the situation on the ground, right? The circumstances on the ground. And one of the, I was just sharing with somebody, one of my favorite kind of personal mantras that I live by, you know, from a leadership perspective, is to, you know, live in the vision, not in the circumstances. Right. And so, for me, it is about, you know, culture. The culture is the vision. The culture is the vision. Like, what should our culture aspire to? And if we have the right culture, we have the right vision, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are on the ground. You know, part of the reason why some of these organizations and some leaders are struggling with this transition of, you know, how do I lead effectively in a pandemic and, you know, transition to this remote workspace and all this other stuff, right? Is because their strategy was built around a different set of circumstances. And they didn't spend enough time in the culture and the vision to be able to say, hey, that's my anchor in the event that the circumstances change, right? And so now they're trying to play catch up, and they're behind the eight ball, and that's just a difficult thing to do. You know, if anybody's ever played sports, again, we started this with the football and the Washington football team.
Yes.
I'm gonna bring it back a little bit to sports with, you know, the hardest thing to do is, you know, to come back from is when you get behind after that first down behind the chains. Right. You know, I remember I just had a coach that just always used to beat that into me, especially as a running back. He's like, hey, bro, listen, we're going to give you this ball on first down. Yeah, you got home run threat ability and all that good stuff. But let me tell you this, what I'm expecting. You better not take a loss. Do not take a loss on first down if we give you the ball. You need to at least gain 3 yards. Right. You need to at least gain 3 yards. Because the mindset was always, if we get behind in yardage or get behind the downs or get behind the chains in the very beginning, playing catch up, like your strategy is now dictated by the circumstances. Like, well, man, I got to gain these yards. So it doesn't matter if I got, you know, the best running back, in the county, right? Like, I'm not going to hand him the ball on second and 15, right? Like, I'm just not going to do that, right? I got to throw so I can get back ahead of the chains. And so, again, to your point, back to the culture, eating strategy, and tying it back to kind of my personal mantra around, you know, living in the vision and not in the circumstances. As a leader, spend a lot of time developing the vision and the culture, because the circumstances will change. I promise you that. I've seen it too many times. You've seen it too many times. The circumstances will change. If you would have told me, even in the beginning of this year, you know, after the ball dropped and New Year, Happy New Year, and all this other stuff, that I would have become a landlord. I would have moved my family to South Florida. Right. I'd be working majority from inside of my home remotely. And that, you know, my oldest would be starting second grade through Florida virtual school. Mm-hmm. If you'd have told me that, I'd tell you there's no way in hell those are going to be the circumstances. Right. But they are. Fortunately, the vision that, you know, I've had for my family and, you know, what we're trying to build has been the anchor. To be honest with you, the anchor for us as we've navigated these situations, where even if the circumstances change, I know what the vision is. And so we've been able to use that as kind of our North Star. So again, leaders, please, again, focus on the vision, focus on the culture. The circumstances are absolutely going to change.
And we're going to end it there.
Awesome.
No need for more. Yeah. Wow, that was good. I appreciate that as well. You know, you forget that sometimes. So again, we'll leave it there. This was real. Has, you know, four really good questions, especially for the time that we're in right now. So we hope everybody listening and watching were able to get some really good nuggets out of that. As our hope, you know, I even learned and were reminded of some things from you today. So that's always powerful. We can kind of get to those points and those moments as we continue to have these conversations. So as we start to end this particular episode, just, you know, stay tuned for more. I think, you know, we mentioned it last time that really we're going to start diving into some specific topics and kind of breaking down, depends on the topic, you know, some strategies and tactics. Again, our whole premise is, you know, how do you live like a leader worth following? How do you help others to do the same? And in doing so, leave a legacy for future generations. So stay tuned as we continue to dive into what it really means to be a strong leader, again, that is worth following. There's a difference. There's a difference between being a leader and being a leader that people want to follow and that is worth following. So we appreciate you guys again. Make sure that you continue to listen and download as well. Please, you know, if you have an opportunity to leave some reviews on, you know, that particular podcast platform that you're using, we would greatly appreciate that as well. And like and subscribe. You know, if you're watching us, the video podcast and watching us on YouTube, like the episode, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will continue to drop the goodness on you every week. That is our commitment to you, is that we're going to be consistent with these different versions of our podcast, again, in all of these different vehicles and platforms that we can spread the love. So as we embark on that, and again, spreading that love, please do the same by sharing with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you feel would be able to, again, gain some insight and hopefully some value out of the conversations and what we're bringing to the table. And keep challenging us with your questions. We appreciate the folks who have been reaching out and sending us, whether it's through, you know, DM or emailing us or even texting us, you know, questions. Please continue to do so. We appreciate that. That's what you want to hear about. So we want to, you know, we want to give you what you want. For sure. I can't keep feeding that. So let us know what's some burning questions, what's deep in your heart, and let's talk about that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we appreciate you guys again very much. And until next time, this is Jimmy Gonzalez Jr. along with my homeboy, Anthony Devon Watch Jr. And we'll see you again next time. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Rage on that beat, going crazy.
You have just listened to the Legacy and Leadership Podcast, hosted by Jimmy Gonzalez and Devon Watts. Thank you, and we hope that you live, lead, and leave a legacy worth remembering. Until next time.